Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. I'm Aaron. Tell you about this weird dream I had last night. You guys might know that baseball is my favorite sport, and I'm blessed to coach it. And I used to play it. It wasn't like super great, but good enough to play from a high school team. So last night I had this dream that I was pitching in a game. I was pretty nervous, and I was pitching from right field. I don't know if you understand baseball much, but they actually give you a mound that's 60 feet, 6 inches away from the batter. I was in like shallow right field. And I was all over the map. I was like, no strikes. And I walked the bases loaded. If you don't know what that means, it's bad. And I pitched and I threw a ball and I went way over towards the third base dugout where the on-deck batter was warming up. And he crushed it. Hit it over the fence, over my head. And I was like, wow, that was impressive, right? And I was just telling him. And then my coach, and I didn't know who it was, he just came up and he goes, you know, you can pitch from the mound. I was like, okay. I went up there, and I was throwing the ball super hard because I was used to throwing it about 200 feet. And the ump was Mr. Rogers. And he gave me like one strike, and then there's three balls, and I just said, time. And I went over to my coach, and I said, can you talk to him? He's killing me. He's just squeezing me. I'm finally throwing strikes. I'm close. I can do this. And he says, you can't talk to him. It's good that you asked me. And I was tripping on that dream. I mean, I woke up at 3 in the morning. I was like, what did I eat? During worship, I feel like God gave me a word on what that was. I can't do it on my own. I just can't. I do stupid stuff on my own. I pitch from right field. I wanted to debate and argue, but the ump's the ump, and I've tried really hard to work on that. I have friends in the back that have seen me fail at that and argue with the ump and argue with everything. And I just was humbled, and my coach was Jesus. And he's the only one who can make it work for me, even when I fail, even when I try it on my own. And you're going to hear a bunch of that today. I felt overwhelmed about today's message, and I'm pretty sure that's why I had that dream. And so I want to ask you to look for faith and look for grace, God's faithfulness and God's grace, and then us in today's message, that on our own, we can't do it. But you're not on your own if you're in Jesus. And you can do it. You can accomplish more than you could ever hope for or imagine. And so I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. I don't know if I'll share with the next group of folks that message about my dream. Maybe, maybe not. But I do think that God speaks through dreams. I don't think that's the only way he speaks. And I don't think we should just put all our eggs in that basket. But understand this. He's not limited by a darn thing, except himself. If he says no, it's a no. If he says yes, it's a yes. And in him, all the promises of God are yes. So be encouraged by that, I pray. Lord, today's your day. I rejoice in that. I can't make it happen, that dream, notwithstanding. I have lots of real life examples of that too. And I thank you so much for this morning where we could be together, we could get in your word, we could get into worship, we could get in even to each other's lives. But God, more than that, would you help us to get in to what it is that you have for us, your identity for us, what you say about us, what you call us. God, I pray for my friends who are here this morning who have come for various reasons. Would you find them? I know you know where they're at, so would you show them that you know where they're at? Would they see you? Would they walk with you? May they hear your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. So I'm going to actually read out of my study Bible. I have a ton of notes in here, and I didn't transfer them over. And so I'm going to let you know when we get to it on this. But there's a couple verses that I left out on purpose. I wanted us to try to read those together. It's a little bit of an exercise for us to be in the Word. So for a while, you have the text up on the screen, but please find a Bible next to you, a person next to you with a Bible or a Bible app. Or obviously, if you have your own, then I would love for you to open that up. Let me go ahead and let you know that we're talking about Romans, and it's united we stand. We're united in Christ, and we stand there. We're also united in the fact that we need Christ, but that isn't how we stand. That's how we fall, is that we have a need. And only in Christ can we stand. I love America. I'm grateful for it. I have shoes that are red, white, and blue. I believe that so much has been given to America. But this isn't actually about America as much as it's about people. And Paul wrote to a divided church, and he wanted them to unite. And he united them by acknowledging that they all had a problem and that the only solution was Jesus. And so let me recap it for you. Last week, we looked at chapter 1. All humanity is hopelessly trapped in sin and needs to be rescued. Everybody. Chapter 2 of Romans was this rescue is not going to happen by people being good enough and obeying the laws of God, because no one can. Not all of them. Some people can have a really good day, a really good week, but nobody truly is what? Perfect, right? That's all right. I'll feed it to you. That's good. Perfect. Nobody's perfect. And so this rescue wasn't going to be man's attempt, we looked at. And then we got into chapter 3, and I'm going to look at some passages in chapter 3 again today. But God's righteousness alone, his right way of living, his fulfillment alone has rescued the world through Jesus' death and resurrection. As Michelle said, that's just something that when people know their impending death is coming, there's a whole lot that they would share. There's a whole lot that maybe runs through their mind. Maybe it's so overwhelming, they don't even know what to say. Jesus was really clear. My body broken for you. My blood shed for you. A new covenant. I've given you life. And so we looked at it last week and we said, you know what? That's a bad news, good news kind of a thing. And it is. If you would, let's go ahead and turn to Romans 3, 21 through 26. You're going to have it up on the screen. You have it in a Bible next to you, and I'll tell you really quick what page it's on. It's on page 941 in these black Bibles. Please, again, I want to remind you, if you don't have a Bible, take this one. It's yours. We love you. We want you to know the Word. We want you to be in it. We want it to be in you, and we want you to know Jesus. And we believe, and we've been looking at it all year, that you and I know Jesus through his Word. We get to know God more by that. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested, shown apart from the law. Now they're given the law and they felt like, oh, we're this covenant people and the covenant is the law and we just follow the law and everything will be right. But not everybody, not anybody could follow the law totally. So God's chosen people, the Jews, though they've been given the law, they've been given this amazing gift, they could not follow it and they needed help. And so a righteousness apart from the law has been shown. Although the law and the prophets do bear witness to it. So the whole Bible bears witness to this, but the law isn't the righteousness. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified by his grace. As a what, church? Who's the gift giver in this story? It's God, right? Through his son, Jesus. Through the redemption, the payment that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Not by law, not by the things that we could do that God would go, man, I owe you on that one. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, hanging in there with us, he had passed over former sins. He didn't ignore them. He covered them. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. My friends gave me a shirt today. Do you mind handing that to me, bro? And I believe it stands to reason that it's an understatement. It's Jesus. He's who paid our price. Nobody else could. He is kind of a big deal. So there's still people, me, maybe some of you, if you'll admit it, maybe not, that we are like, I know Jesus paid the price. I know that he's the only one who can do it for me, but I feel like I've got to do something to earn it. And so I'll ask you this question. What we just read, what you know about Jesus, is it the law that saves us or is it faith? And really, it's grace that saves us, but we have to have faith in that grace. And so I love that what we're about to read gives us a new flavor of law. It's the law of faith. Is there a law of faith? Yeah. Still on page 941, we'll jump to verse 27. Then what becomes of our boasting? I don't know how many of you want to boast. I don't know how many of you want to say, well, that was me. I did it. I have a great faith. Have you ever had anybody say, you have a great faith? Or your prayers worked? Here's the cool thing. God allows us to be a part of that story, but it's faith in who? It's prayers to who? That's where the power comes from. It's not our boasting. Look. What becomes of our boasting? It's excluded. It's left out. By what kind of law? What excludes our boasting? By a law of works? No. But by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. You're just as if you'd never sinned, declared righteous. It says it on your bulletin, and I'll say it again later on a slide here. But we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, because the Gentiles hadn't been given the law. Since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Some of you are like, what? I mean, I want to understand that. But what? First of all, I want to remind you of this. Justified is declared righteous. Justify your books. You settle accounts. You figure it all out, and you're like, dang, with depreciation and all of the pain and the agony that I've had of owning this business or owning this car or whatever, I'm in the red. I just can't afford it. I'm losing money. And this way, we're losing our hope and our grip because we can't keep the law. And God's like, I declare you righteous. No debt, as a matter of fact. You're in the black. I declare you right. I give you this. And so what does it mean? Do we overthrow the law by this faith? We're saying the law is nothing. No, you're actually by faith in Jesus, you're going to, wait for this, dude, because it's crazy. You keep the law. You live it out. What's the most important law? What was the greatest commandment that Jesus said? Yeah, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. By faith in him, you are justified and you're keeping that. You're recognizing he's the only one that can save. He's the only one that can give you strength. He's the only one that helps you to live. And then the second one was like it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. You get to love others and yourself. You are going to keep this law. And look, I love what happens with this justification. I want to give a shout out to Jesus for teaching so many people this. And then the Bible Project put it together in a sweet little video. And I just kind of summarized it a little bit. This justification brings us new status. We're justified. We're righteous. That's a new status. We couldn't earn that one on our own. Good news, church. Then he puts us in a new family. Now we're part of this huge family. It's a faith-based family, by the way. Faith in God. And then he gives us a new future. Not one to be dreaded, but one to look forward to. But again, our Savior lives, and so we don't have to one day have a good life. We can have that today. We can have a good new life, new status. But then how does all this work? How does all this get unpacked? Because God, like, gave the law to his people. And there's a whole lot to that. Why would he give a law to people that he knew they couldn't keep? So anybody got a thought on that one? Yeah. So they would rely on him. You guys, I'm going to let the text do the teaching. I'm going to read in Romans 4, 1 through 8. I know that some of you worked a long, crazy shift last night. Some of you are just amazing parents. You worked a long shift there because your kids wouldn't sleep. I'm going to read some text, and I want to ask you to look for God's righteousness and him giving it to us and the faith that we can have in him and the hope that we can have in him and the grace. I won't teach a ton on it, but I am going to read quite a bit. So if you're tired, stand up. It's okay. I know that we'd be more comfortable if we just laid across this front row that was wide open, but I'm not trying to make you all comfortable. I want you to remember how great our Savior is. Here we go. You're on page 941 still, and then we'll jump to 942. And there's a couple of passages, like I said, that aren't going to be on the screen. So please look for them. All right. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? Do you know how many people recognize Abraham as their forefather in this world? Billions. Spiritually and physically. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. I'll say this, many of us want to be able to say to God, you kind of owe me on this. I'm doing good. I'm doing the baby steps. I'm getting things done. You owe me. And God's like, actually, not at all. But what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. It's what he's earned. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteous apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. And the only way this happens is Jesus. Pay attention. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? Is it just for the Jews or is it for everybody? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he'd been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. Before he could do anything, he had to hear God and believe him. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. Circumcision, this act of the flesh, this work of faith, this work of believing was only a sign. It was a seal that he believed. God called him and he believed him. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised so that righteousness would be counted to them as well. And to make him the father of the circumcised who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Instead of just a bunch of different words, I want to ask you to consider this. God is saying very clearly through his word, you can't do this on your own. You need me. You have to have faith. I know it sounds like a song, because it was, but look at this. Verse 12 again. And to make him the father of the circumcised who are not merely circumcised, so not just religious, not just following the law, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Little boys were circumcised, but before that, men were. Little baby boys, 8 days, right? They didn't get to choose that. That was chosen for them. But by faith, they believed that God was calling them to follow him. This is what's not in your or up on the screen. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it's the adherents of the law, those who follow the law, who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. All you got to do is follow the law. You don't have to have faith. Just do the work. Which nobody could. For the law brings wrath. But where there's no law, there's no transgression. Really, really quickly, the law brings wrath. You don't do what the law says, you must be punished. That's why Jesus had to die. Nobody could do it. But if you don't know that there's a law, then you're not having a transgression. Except God's perfect and holy. Look, we'll keep going. Verse 16. That's why it depends on faith. In order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring. Not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. Oh my goodness, you guys. God's grace and God's faithfulness. God's grace, God's faithfulness initiates ours. It's him. It's him that gave us faith as a gift. You check it out in Ephesians 2. You can go to Galatians 2 for more help with what this is and to unpack it. But I want to ask you to consider, who's the one that can make us clean? Who's the one that fulfilled all of the law? It was only Jesus. Look back to verse 17. As it is written, I've made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. We can't do that on our own, and we don't have to. This is the faith, and I want you to go ahead, and I've got it right here. Check out this example of trusting God. This is Abraham, the father of many different people groups and people who went away from God so they could do their own thing and try to be justified by their own works. We struggle with that. That's not just the Muslim people. There's a ton of Jewish people like, if I just do the work, God owes me. There's a ton of Christian people that are religious as well. Look at this faith that Abraham had. So back to verse 18, and we'll go through 22. In hope, he, Abraham, believed against hope, hope against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be, as much as the stars of the sky. And he had no kids at that time. You're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to have so many kids, you can't even count them. Some people are like, is that a blessing? Yeah, yeah, it's actually. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. He grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. He believed in God, even though what he had going on in his own life did not make sense for the promise that God gave him. fully convinced that God was able to do what he'd promised, because he is. That's why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Okay, so that's a lot. Thank you, Aaron. How are you going to wrap this up? We got to get going. Well, now it's our turn. It's our turn. It's our time to trust God. We can trust God because he's good. His faithfulness endures forever. His love overwhelms us and satisfies us all at the same time. And why? Why do we have that hope? Don't have it for you. You need to read along in a Bible next to you, or just listen to my melodious voice. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone. He had faith before he had been given the law. He had faith in a God that said, "I got you. Now follow me." We have so much more than he had to trust in. But this was for us too. Look, the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So, church, where and with what do you need to believe in him who raised Jesus? Is it with money? I want to trust God and follow him. I want to believe that his law, his command, that all is his and I love him with everything would work even with my money, but I don't know how to do that. I need help with that. There are a lot of people here who could help you with budgeting and all that, but I would ask, where are you at on giving God your first fruits? Where are you at with trusting God with everything? Not being dumb, but also not being dumb in the other way that the folly would come in and say, no, you can't trust God. You've got to use your money the way you see fit. What's that? Yeah, I'm getting to meddling here. So let's move on to something that's a little less meddlesome. How about your relationships? How about sex? What's that? When a mommy kitty and a daddy kitty, I'm just kidding. Look. Where do you need to trust that what God says goes with your relationships, with your marriage, with forgiveness? I just can't forgive. You grow as Abraham. I grow as Abraham did as we give glory to God. He's the one that helps me. I have to fix my eyes on him, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's his kindness that leads to repentance. And so I need to stop with what I think is going to work and believe the one who raised Jesus from the dead. I've got to go with what he says. Now, if I believe that that works and that I can trust him, then my addictions can come before him. I can actually go. Maybe I need to go to a treatment facility, but you're not just going to 12-step that thing out of submission. You're going to one-step that over and over again. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He was raised from the dead. I have the ability, the authority, the power in him to be right and to overcome whatever it is that I'm going against. Well, I just don't know about my future. I want this and I want that, and I think God's put it on there. Seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, he will give you all that you need. He'll show you. So where and with what do you need to believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead? With your church? With your fears? With your children? How do I trust him? Have faith in him. That's the same thing, man. Trust him, faith in him, isn't that the same thing? How do you do it? You know that he's God and you're not. That's a confession. That's a belief that gets lived out and it's counted to you as righteousness that you have faith in him who raised Jesus from the dead. He can overcome everything, anything, pain, agony, addiction, fear. Do you say hate?
Defeat.
Gosh, I mean, not just the end of the book, although we're going to read Revelation, we're going to go through it. Not just there, but always we overcome in Christ Jesus. He who actually felt like he was as good as dead was told, you're going to be daddy. And there's going to be so many people that come from you, you can't even count them. And he's like, all right, I trust you. He didn't have the track record that we have with God. Let's believe in him. Let's trust him. Raise your babies to know him. Tell your friends who are in the throes of indecision, have you talked to God? Have you come to him? Let me share my story with you. You could even have a crazy dream like pitching from right field, and you can use that because he who is faithful can be counted on. And we can be faithful because of his faith. Man, that's grace that he's given us. I'm going to read this to you. Faith is not in or from itself, but faith in and from God's saving act through Jesus. It's not just faith itself. It's faith in Jesus. We constantly try to say, well, I just have to have enough faith and all that. You have to have faith in Jesus. Even a little tiny bit can move a mountain. Let's pray. God, I know that today's day and age has us with all kinds of access to information. And I pray that we would use that for your glory. We would look up stuff. We would understand that you are faithful and your love endures forever. And we'd have tons and tons of stories and examples of that. But at the end of the day, we have enough information to have faith in the one who is the Most High God. And that's you. Jesus, you paid a price that we couldn't pay on our own. It's through your death and resurrection that you paid for our sins. You defeated sin and death. You called us to you. For those of us who have heard, we have come to you and we have new life and we get to live that out, even through the pain and the agony, the uncertainties of this world and our lives. God, I don't want to beg people to follow you. I want to encourage them to. So I pray, Lord, right now, wherever they're at, wherever they've thought of that they need to entrust to you, that they would over and over and over again, that I would over and over and over again. God, thanks for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it's worthy. And it helps us to know you. Thank you for empowering our faith, Jesus. And pray that we would be strong and courageous and let it be contagious. In your perfect name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.